se lo trifate. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ونعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وأجل ما شاء الله. First of all, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to take this time to congratulate the Imam of the time for the birth of his father.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
I would like to give congratulations to all of you, the believers of Ahlul Bayt, for the birth of the 11th star in the family of Imams.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Was going to be born.
Subhanallah.
The one who was awaited not just by the Shia of Ahlul Bayt, but by all the Muslims. In fact, who was awaited by all the people of the world. The one that everyone is waiting for. The Savior that they called, the Messiah that they called, and whom we called the Mahdi.
Allahu Akbar.
He is born through Imam Hasan Askari alayhi salam. And just to understand the significance of the Imam of the time and the role that the Imam has in the time that we live in, and what Imam Hasan Askari was to the Imam, as you see, is incumbent upon us to know this detail. And for this, I just read this ayat for you that you all know and that you all read, and every Muslim must know by heart, because if he has to pray, he must read Surah Al-Fatiha. If he reads Surah Al-Fatiha, then he knows the ayat that I read for you, which is Maliki Yawmuddin.
Subhanallah.
Right? And through this, inshallah, we need to understand one aspect of the Imam. Right, that we can. How Allah explains this, and how this ayat is trying to give this meaning. You see that Allah is introducing Himself through these qualities of His. Right, He says, Alhamdulillah, praises for Allah, Rabbul Alameen. Who is Allah? He is Rabbul Alameen. Right? And then he says, Ar-Rahman, he is Rahman, and he is Rahim. Now I explained last week what Rahman and Rahim means. Rahman means the one who shows large blessings. And Rahim is the one who shows constant blessings. And Allah is both Rahman and Rahim. So we see that Allah is saying that He is Allah who is Rabbul Alameen. Then He says that He is the Rahman. He shows big mercy and big blessings to the people. Then Rahim, that His blessings are ongoing and constant. They do not cease. Then He says, Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the master or the owner of the day of Deen. Yom means day. Deen, this is a word that if you look into it, you see that it has many meanings in Arabic. Deen, it has many meanings, but the ones that are important for us are two meanings. Deen at first means a way of life. It means a way of life. How you lead your life, how you live your life, this is called deen. Allah says in the Quran, Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. Meaning the best way of life is in submission to Allah. The best way of life is that life which is led for Allah's cause. So here we see that deen is in the meaning of way of life. That Islam is a way of life. Inna deen meaning surely the way of life. Surely the best way of life is that which is led in the way of Allah. And why should it be? Why shouldn't it be the best way of life that when we lead our lives, that we lead it for Allah's sake? This is and should be the best way of life, because any other way of life other than this way of life is a betrayal of Allah's trust. You see, if you want to fulfill a trust, it means that whoever gave you something, you give it back to him. So now, when Allah gave us life, then trust means that we give it back to Him.
Yes.
If we don't give it back to Him and give it back to someone else, then we are betraying His trust.
Yes. Yes.
If I give you $100, then you give me back the $100. Right? Now, if you give it to someone else, and say, well, this is his, but I'm giving it to you, right? And you give it away somewhere else. Now you're looking at that and saying, wait a minute, this is my amanat. I gave it to you. Why did you give it to him? You see, why did you give it to him? Allah is saying that He is giving us life. The life is given by Him. So now, if you lead your life for someone else's pleasure, then you're betraying the trust of Allah. So this is the reason that the only way of life in which you fulfill your trust of giving back this life to Allah is to lead your life for Allah's sake.
Yes, yes.
See, otherwise, you are betraying the trust that Allah gave you. He gave you life, and you're leaving or leading it, or you're living your life for someone else. Allah is saying, I gave it to you. I'm the one who gave it to you, and you're living it for someone else? See, I mean, this is a breach of trust. You know, He trusted us with life. When we have life, it means that if we don't live it for Islam, if we don't live it for Allah's cause, then this is a breach of trust. It is a betrayal. It is treachery against the amanat that Allah gave us. This is what it is. And hence, this is why Allah is saying the best way of life is that which is given for Allah's sake. The life that is given for Allah's sake, why? Because Allah gave it to you, you're giving it back to Him. You know, He gave you the power, you give it back to Him. This is why He's saying, deen here, inna deena, inna Allah al-Islam. Deen here is in the meaning of a way of life. Meaning, this is a way of life. This is one meaning. Now, when we go and see another meaning of deen, this is the word deen, I'm just talking about the word deen here. Another meaning of deen means jaza. Jaza means recompensation. Requital. You know? Meaning to, for example, you do something and you are recompensed for it. Whether it's good or bad. If you do good, you will be recompensed with good. If you do evil, you will be recompensed with evil.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, here when Allah speaks about deen and says, Maliki yawmiddin, here deen is in the meaning of jaza. That He is the master of yawmul jaza. Meaning the day of recompensation, the day when you will be held accountable for your actions and all matters that you have done will be settled there. You see? That is deen. Meaning this is the day that you will be recompensed. This is the day that you will be answered for all the things that you have done, you will answer for it. So now when you look at this, and I want you to understand this now. Why is Allah introducing Himself like this? Say again, now you know the meaning of this ayat, and now I want you to understand, why is Allah saying this? Meaning, at first He says, Allah is who? Rabbul Alameen. He takes care of everything else. Not for one moment or two moments, but for the life that they live, He is the one who's taking care of them. This is Rabbul Alameen. Then He says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That He is compassionate and merciful. So obviously, until now, everyone has their hopes up. And then again, suddenly He says, Maliki
Yawmiddin. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
See, my friends, understand this. You see, what happens is this, right? Usually, when you see someone who's generous, or someone who's kind-hearted, a nice guy, then usually what happens is that with nice guys, you know, you can take advantage of them, knowing that they won't say anything or won't do anything. You know, they're a nice guy, Do it, you know what I mean? You know, you can joke about him, he's there and, you know, he'll laugh with you. Right? And you're joking about him. You know, he'll laugh with you, he's a nice guy. Right? He's a nice guy, a generous guy, kind guy. Usually, the mentality, right, that we have is that you are a nice guy and hence, you know, I can take advantage of you. So now, if I come to you and, you know, do something wrong to you, so, you know, you're a nice guy, you're not going to say anything back. So what happens is that usually when you have an idea of someone who is nice and generous and kind-hearted, then you think that you can do whatever you want with him, it'll be alright. Now for example, it does happen, let's say, you are a nice guy, right? You are a nice guy and a generous guy and a kind guy. Now, you see one of the brothers comes up to you and steals your wallet. Steals your wallet, and you see your wallet in his hand. He's holding it in his hand, you know, and it's your wallet, your ID's in there also. You don't even take the ID out to hide it, you know. The ID's there, everything's there. You have my wallet. And then also you say, yeah, I do. But you stole it from me. So? And you're like, you know what I mean? You stole the wallet. So now this guy is saying, well, you know, I did because, you know, I mean, I thought you are a generous man. I thought you were a nice man, a kind man. I mean, if you're not, I'll give it back to you. You know, I mean, if you're not kind, if you're not generous, again, now you have two choices. Either you say that you're not kind and generous and take it back, or you be patient. I'm losing your wallet. You see that? You pay for losing your wallet. So now what happens is this, my friends. Now understand, here, this person, in this regard, if someone steals your wallet, who is going to tolerate that? Who's going to say, I mean, this is the case. My friend, understand this. When someone sees someone nice-hearted, kind and generous, usually they don't have respect for them. Usually they don't have that honor for them and respect for them. So now Allah, when He introduced Himself, He said Ar-Rahman and Rahim two times. You see, amongst Muslims, my brothers, I'll come back to this example to explain to you more. But you know, amongst Muslims, right? Understand what happens with Muslims. With Muslims, you will see this. If they do sins, if they do wrong, right? You will see that one of the excuses they all use is that, listen, it's between me and Allah, and Allah is Rahman and Rahim.
La ilaha illallah.
You tell a brother, you know, I mean, you're drinking alcohol. He said, listen, Allah is Rahman. I mean, you're doing wrong to others. Allah is Rahman. Allah is merciful. It's between me and Allah. Allah is Rahman and Rahim. You see, everyone is using this excuse. So now, Rahman and Rahim, because you have this idea of a nice person, generous person, you don't respect his rules, you don't respect his laws, you don't respect him, you don't have honor for him or respect for him. That's why Allah is saying, listen, if you know me by Rahman and Rahim, I will repeat it again. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman and Rahim, I am merciful. But also know, I am Malik-e Yawmiddin. If I know how to be merciful, I know how to punish also. If I know how to be compassionate, I know how to take your account also. So don't get this idea that you get with other nice people and kind-hearted people and you can take advantage of my laws and go against my laws and call me Rahman and Rahim. No, right away I'm saying Malik-e Yawmiddin. So you see, this is why you're saying the Maliki Yawmiddin means what? Right away, so that you know that I am the one who punishes also. I'm the one who takes your account also. Right? What kind of account? He's saying, hear what I'm saying. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةً شَرًّا يَرَى. He says, anyone who does an atom's weight of good will see it. Anyone who does an atom's weight of evil will see it. You see, when the Muslims who sin, right? Sometimes what happens to us is that, you know, we, for example, when we come to the big sins, the major sins, we won't do them. For example, we don't drink alcohol, we don't do zina, we don't do these things. Okay. So, when the smaller sins come, you know, we start to ignore them. Right? We start to ignore them. You know, in a small sins, I'm doing, I'm trying to hold myself back against all these big sins. This is only a small sin. It's only a small sin. Right? It doesn't matter that much. So I try to ignore it. Right? And usually it happens. You know, I'm doing all these big stuff. You know, I mean, only, you know, one penny. I mean, for example, like, for example, I gave the masjid, for example, $100,000. Right? But then you see that one sajdaga, stone we go on, came in my pocket. I gave the masjid $100,000. What's this one little thing? This small sin, alright. You know? But you see, we ignore those small things. And Allah is saying that on the day of judgment, anything that we have done to an atom's weight will be seen. So those Muslims who are doing the these sins by saying Allah is Rahman. You see, Allah's saying that He is Rahman has become a way for us to sin. An excuse for us to sin. That's why He's saying Malik Yawmiddin right away. But then Allah says that even that little small atom's weight of wrong you do will be seen. They hear, just to understand what this means. You see, if we do something wrong, right? No one knows about it. Right? No one knows about it. But let's say people get to know about it. Right? Let's say it was published in our newsletter, what you have done. Everyone knows. This guy has done this sin. A small sin, but a sin. You know, he has done this. Imagine how you would feel in front of people. You know, how you would feel in front of people. You know what I mean? Yeah, that little sin, that little wrong that you have done is now everyone knows about it. You see, how you feel? Allah is saying that on the day of judgment, even an atom's weight. And if a Muslim reads the Quran, then either he would not sin or he would know what zarra means. You see, zarra, you know, is an atom. And Allah used this word with such wisdom and eloquence that what we think is so small that no one can see, you see, zarra is an atom. Atom is so small and so minuscule that the eye cannot see it. You see, it is so small and so minuscule that the eye cannot see it. Allah is saying, even those things that you regard as so small that no one can see it, that will also be revealed. That will also be revealed. Imagine how Allah eloquently is saying this so that we understand. We might think it's small, but whatever small is there, an atom that you cannot see, you need a microscope to see it. Even that small, you regard it as small, you will see it there. You see that. So now, when we need to understand that how Allah is saying that do not take these sins as small. Do not take any sin as small. It is another thing that you do is the fault for it. You see, this is something that Allah has given you the door of opportunity to ask for repentance and forgiveness. Those who do istighfar, even the sins that they have done, when Allah accepts it from you, even if they are major, Allah will hide it in such a way that no one can see it, not even you. But for those who do istighfar, those who repent and change their life, for them, Allah says that yes, He will change, He will hide their sins. Even from their own self, they would not know that they have done it. This is how Allah will handle. But on the other hand, those who don't, even the things that you thought were so small will come out to you. So now, when you have this in mind and seeing that, what does this mean? What does this mean? So now I want to come back to that example. A person, he steals from you. Right? And he said that you are a nice man, you are a kind man and a generous man. I mean, if you're not, I will give back your wallet. Otherwise, I'll keep it. No one is going to tolerate that. No matter how good you are, how generous you are. He said, if you wanted money, ask me. I will give it to you. But when I have my rules, respect my rules.
Yeah, yeah.
The law that I have, respect my honor. My izzat. Respect that. So now you touch this, next time you're going to touch something else.
Exactly.
Respect something that you have. So now, no matter how generous you are, you're not going to tolerate someone breaking your laws and breaking your rules. But you are very generous. If he had asked it, you would have given it all. You see, if he asked it, you would have given it all. But if he goes against your laws and disrespects you, then no one tolerates it. So if you being so nice and generous do not tolerate others breaking your laws, then why do you think Allah is going to tolerate anyone breaking His laws? Why do you think Allah is going to say that, okay, go ahead, break my laws? You see, Allah is so generous that He's saying, listen, if you would have asked me, I would have given it to you. If you make dua, I gave you the door of dua. Ask me, I would have given it. I'm ready to listen to you day and night. And I'm listening to you. But you see, instead of asking me, you went ahead and broke my law. So why do you think, if you cannot tolerate others disrespecting you, why do you think I would tolerate you disrespecting me? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. That's the issue. When we see what deen is, here, Maliki Yawmid Deen, deen means recompensation. Allah is saying that He is the one who is going to take your account and is going to punish you if you did bad, reward you if you did good. He is the one who does that. Now the only thing left is to know what this word Malik means. What does the word Malik mean? So that, inshallah, this will help you to understand this better. You see, Malik obviously, as we know it, means someone who owns something, master of something. In the recitation of Quran, you see that the earliest reciters, when they recited the Quran, there are some who used to say Maliki Yawmiddin, some used to say Maliki Yawmiddin. Malik means king. Malik means owner. And you know that in the Quran, both of these are allowed for you to recite. You can say Maliki Yawmiddin or Maliki Yawmiddin. Right? Now, the people, there are some people who said that, well, you see, it's better to say Maliki Yawmiddin than Maliki Yawmiddin. Malik means king and Malik means owner. And the reason for that is this. Malik is used for what? For something in relationship to time. Malik is used in relationship to time. For example, you say, this person was the king of this time. He is the king of this era, this time period. For example, any king that is born, you will say, well, he is the king of this time. So you see, king is in relationship to time. Malik, when you use Malik, this is not in relationship to time, but this is in relationship to place. For example, I own this land. I'm the owner of this land. So, this land is this place. So, I own this land. I own this space. This place, right here. You see? So, Malik is used in relationship to place. Malik is used in relationship to time. See? So, now because the ayats, now if you pay attention to the ayat is saying, Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the master of the day of judgment. Because it's speaking about time, and hence it's better to say Maliki Yawmiddin, because it's in relationship to time. You see that? In relationship to time, that's why you say Maliki Yawmiddin instead of Maliki Yawmiddin. Now, if you are with me till here, now let me explain this. Because this reasoning that they give is also flawed. This is a flawed reasoning that they give. You see, when they speak of a king, and then they speak of Allah, it is two different things. You're talking about apples and oranges. Right? You say, this is the king of this time, this is the king of this time. Right? This is the king of this era. A king is born in time, he lives in time, and he dies in time. Meaning he is born on a certain date, lives in a certain time period, dies on a certain date. So any king that you talk about, he is affected by time. He's living under time. But when you speak about Allah, you see, Allah does not live in time. You see, not alone time, but the day and night. I mean, how do the day and night come about? By the rotation of the earth, the movement of the earth around the sun. You see, the day and night, they come about because of that. Let alone time, the reason for the day and night is this earth, this movement, and all these things. Allah has not only made time, but He has also created those things by which day and night occur. So the one who has created all this creation, and He has created time itself, how can He be affected by time, and how can He be called in relationship to time? Hence, when you say Malik for a person who lives in this world, you speak of him in terms of time. But when you use Malik in terms of Allah, you speak of him in despite of time and beyond time. He is not affected by time. Time affects everyone else. It does not affect Allah. So now, just one thing. Even space, when we speak about a place. You see, this place. When we say we are Malik of this house, we all have a house. Well, most of us. Right? And we all say that we own it. This is our house. Right? But we need to understand something. We are not the owner of the house. Our name is on the deed of the house. You see, there are two different things. Owning is something, and having your name on the house is something else. You see, my friends, understand this. I own, for example, this huge property. I own this, and I say I own this. But when you say ownership, milkiyat or malikiyat, ownership, what does ownership mean? Ownership means you have haqqe asarruf on that. Meaning you're able to use it any way you want. When you own something, you use it any way you want. Right? So now when you say, I'm the owner of this, so now you own it. Now I own this very big piece of land. So you say, I own it. But you see, your ownership is such that if you say anything to your land that you own, it's not listening to you.
Exactly.
Alright, understand this. What is ownership? What is ownership, right? Shaddad was a person, a king of his time, who wanted to build his heaven on earth. Right? He wanted to build his heaven on earth. So he had his slaves go out there and he guarded, you know, which he calls heaven. So anyway, the garden, he builds a garden. I mean, they built the garden. They worked very hard and they built this beautiful garden for him. And they all come back to Shaddad and say, it's done, it's completed. Shaddad is like, alright, now it's time for me to see my heaven. Right? Jannati, this is my heaven. I want to see it, let's go. He is riding in front. So the horse or camel, whatever he's riding on. He's riding in front. Everyone is in the back. The whole entourage is moving towards that heaven that is made for him. Are you seeing this? He comes to the gate. He comes to the gate of that heaven that is made for him. Right? Just as he comes to the gate, the angel of death. You know? Unexpected guest. You know? When you least expect him. You get out of my way, I need to see my heaven. He says, I don't listen to you. I don't take orders from you. You think I want to be a slave in the back there? You know, you can tell me to go anywhere? He says, no. But just 1 second, let me see this. It's made for me. He said, nope. You know? Yeah. He said, nope. He takes him away. Understand that this is his heaven. You know, and worst of all, the head of the horse has gone through the gate. But Shaddad died on the horse. I mean, even his animal got to see that heaven, but the owner could not. This is our ownership. This is our ownership. What is our ownership? Had we made this happen, he couldn't even see it. Couldn't have the fortune to see what he has made. But his animal saw it. Horse went inside there, a good look. So this is it. And after him, all the slaves enjoyed it. You know, the slaves enjoyed it. The servants enjoyed it for the rest of their lives. But the owner could not even see it. You see, this is our ownership. You see, this is what it means by owner. So when we own a place, when we own a place, what does it mean? We own this 60 acre of land. Right? And that 60 acre, let's say, you know, we die there, we are only going to use 6 foot of it, right? So we die there and we go inside there. What happens when the grave? The grave is going to destroy us. It's going to destroy us in such a way that the pieces would not be left of us. Nothing will be left of us. He's going to destroy us in that way. Now, I'm the owner of this big land, and you know what? I make a grave in my life. I, you know, make a hole there, dig it up, and this and that, and say, listen, I own you. So when I die, don't touch me.
Yes.
I mean, I'm the owner, right? So if I am the owner, then it should listen. I own you. So when I die, do not touch me. Do not harm me. Do not hurt me. When I go in the grave, you are mine. So what happens? He goes inside, he'll be destroyed. By destroying him, the grave is telling this person, listen, you are not the owner. Your name is on my property. Your name is on the deed. My owner is he whom I listen to.
Ya Allah.
You see that? My owner is he whom I listen to. I don't listen to you. I listen to him who has commanded me to destroy you. You see? So he is the owner. Your name is on the deed. That's all you are here in this world. You can write your name, whether on a 1 acre property or a 100 acre property. You can write your name there, but don't think you're the owner. Don't think you're the owner. But the ones Allah made owners.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
The ones whom Allah made owners. Then they really own what they have.
Subhanallah.
Even if it's their 6 foot grave. He made them owner of that. So now when they go in that grave, beware, that grave cannot even touch them. Grave cannot even touch them. Why not? Because they are the owners of it. See, they are the owners of it. That's the reason. Those who die in Allah's way, Allah made them the owner of that land that they have gone in. And those whom Allah made owner of this dunya, owner of this world, how can the world touch those people who owned it? In other words, they are the real owners. You are just a fake owner who puts his name on the property. They are the ones who are the real owners. So if you were the owner of this earth, if you tell it something, it will do it. If it's not listening, you're not the owner. If it was a real owner, it will take that dust in the hand and say, say La ilaha illallah, it will say La ilaha illallah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Rasulullah picked up the pebble and said, say La ilaha illallah. The pebble started to say La ilaha illallah. These are the real owners. You see that these are the real owners, not just of place, but of times. Time is affecting you. Just like the place that you go in, the grave that you go in is going to destroy your body. It is time that is destroying you while you're alive. See, while you're alive, it is destroying you. The more you live in time, you will be destroyed. It is affecting you. You're aging, you're growing old, and you will die because of time. See, you don't own time. Time is ruling over you. You don't own the grave rules over you. But the one that Allah gave authority to, when Allah made Imam the authority of the world, so he has authority over place, he has authority over time. So time does not affect him. Time has no effect on him. Now understand why the Imam is called Sahib al-Zaman. He's called Sahib al-Zaman because he owns time. If he tells time what to do, the time will do it. That's why he can live for 1100 years and the time will not do anything to him. See, for example, the lack of your ownership, you will understand the ownership of Allah and the ownership of those that Allah gave ownership of. The ones that Allah made owner in this world, you know who they are. That's the reason why when they are in the grave, grave does not dare touch it. Right? Because they own it. And when we go in the grave, you know, inshallah, you know, then the Imam will come there and tell the grave not to touch it. That's the best we can hope for, that, you know, that Imam, we are living our life for your cause, so now when we go in the grave, this is your property. Tell it not to hurt us. Tell it not to hurt us. We lived our life for the sake of Allah. This is the reason that when we go to the grave, it is said that when a mu'min goes to his grave, he will see Imam Ali there. And then, you know, we can tell Imam Ali that this is your property. Tell it not to do it. Say that, you know, please do not hurt us, you know. Our actions are not worthy, but we have love for you. We have love for Allah, and we have love for those that Allah has appointed. And through that, you know, Allah accept this. I mean, they are the owners. Allah made them the owners. You know, they are the masters. And this is the reason when Allah made them masters, we should look at it ourselves and say, when Allah says, Maliki Yawmiddin, understand what ownership is. This is ownership. And that is what we, when we are looking at ourselves and when we are seeing the Imam, then remembering the Imam of the time and the birth of the Imam, you know, it is one of those things that we need to remember, the fact that who are the Imams, you know. It's one aspect I explained to you today, you know, and hopefully, you know, as we learn more, we gain more knowledge of them and ma'rifat of them, and hopefully when we die with the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Waqir al-Dawan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. Questions?
Yes, sir. So when you go to your grave and what movement, which comes first? You seeing Imam Ali Islam or the question?
No, at first will come the angels. Okay. Right? The angels will come. Right? And then as they're asking the questions, then you see the Imam will come. Allah will send the Imam. Right? And when they see the Imam right away, they will stand in respect.
SubhanAllah.
Right? And they will be kind right away. Right, because of the fact that, you know, you need to understand that Allah, He made the Prophet and his family the nucleus of all the angels. The teacher of Jibreel was Imam Ali. And the rest of the angels learned from him. And this goes with all the Imams. You see that, for example, the leader of the first Imam of the Sunnis is a student of our Imam.
That's right.
And hence what happened is that, you know, all the knowledge came from there and went forward wherever it went. Doesn't matter.
That's right.
It's watered down after that.
That's right.
The issue is that, you know, they are the ones that, for example, are the nucleus, and they have the knowledge of, you know, like for example, when they come and Allah sends them, right? He sends them so that when the angels see them, they know to respect them, honor them, and to listen to them. Right, and hence, you know, that's the reason, you know, I said that those who love Imam Ali and those who have the love of Imam Ali, he will come to their grave by Allah's permission.
Allah.
You know, Allah will send him there so that whatever in the grave, right, that it will be that we are able to answer in the right way.
Inshallah.
Right, the questioning will be done, everyone will be questioned. Right, but then you will have someone who is telling you what to say there.
Ya Allah.
Hello. Attention.
Inshallah.
You know, someone's going to come there and he's going to tell you that when the angel asks you, who is your Rabb? Then, you know, when you will be so scared, Imam Ali says, say Allah is your Lord.
Subhanallah.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
Because Imam is going to testify on your behalf that yes, you did believe in Allah. Right? And you did believe in the Prophet, and you did believe in the Quran, and you did believe in
Allah.
So, in other words,
that's the reason, you know.
So, in other words, you'd be so, when you're being questioned, these would be so frightened that you would not be able to answer properly?
But, you know, when you die, right, the angel will come. First of all, death itself is, it is very frightening. You know, meaning it's a whole different experience, right? You're in a world that you don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, you're just born. Right? That's why the baby cries, you know? It's like, you know, space around, what's all this? You know, what's all this? It's crying, you know, this and that. It's like, you know, you're just born again, right? After death, and then you see that there's another one, right? Then you see that there's more of that. So now what happened is that when that happens, so that's on one hand. And the other thing is the angel, the appearance of the angels on the other hand. They come to you in a frightening face, you know? You know, I mean, we have a wrong idea about angels, right? That they are handsome and pretty, you know? It's not the case. Right? It's not the case, you know? I mean, the thing is that, you know, when they come, you know, they come to you in a very frightening, especially these two, right? Because their job is to frighten you. Put on that, you know, frightening face, right? So that they can frighten you so much. Much more than what you are, so that when you talk of truly what you believed in. Right? You talk of truly what you believed in. And it is a very harsh test that we need all the help we can in that test. Okay, some questions. When it comes to sin, is it considered a sin if someone does not tell the whole truth of the matter, or if they let someone assume something that is not true? For example, you're riding in a car that is not yours, but someone thinks it's yours. Is being deceptive haram? What exactly is deception? Okay, this is, like for example, you're not responsible for what other people think, you know, when you're not doing anything wrong. But there's one principle that we are taught, is that do not go in places or situation where you know people are going to criticize you or have a wrong impression of you. For example, you know, you see that, let's say there is a liquor store, you know, on one side, and on the other side, let's say you have Walmart, right? Now you say, if I go all the way to Walmart for change, it's going to take too much time, so let me go in the liquor store for change. you go to the liquor store to get some change, that's it, right? But it is sad that, expect that if someone sees you, they will have a wrong impression of you. Your job, at that point, your job, if you see someone see you, is to clarify what you are doing. To clarify what you are doing, not let that assumption go on, because if that assumption goes on, then there will be much more fitna, right? Then that will be good. So your job is just to say it once, meaning if you see someone, they see you or something like that, you're just saying in any group or gathering you're in, no, I went there for this reason, for example. And after that, if they want to speak about it, that is a sin on them. Right? After that, then it becomes grievance. But before that, you have to clarify yourself that, you know, I did this, you know, for this reason, not this reason. Or for example, if you're talking around with apple juice, you know, or one of those, the thing is that, you know, I mean, see, nowadays you have those, Abashayi, right?
Icer.
Right, one more Icer. Icer is halal, but it comes in a long neck bottle. Right? It comes in a long neck bottle. So now when you see a long neck bottle, you know, you get a different idea. So when you see a brother walking around with an Icer, right, and everyone says, you know, I saw him, you know, with a bottle, you know, in his hand, you know. So now what happened is that at first it's always there to assume that he's doing good, not bad. Right? But even for the brother, when he sees that others saw him and they might have this idea that he's doing wrong, there's, you know, that he has to go and clarify it only once. Right? In front of a group of people.